York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yeah, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Friday to you on this 20th day of July, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and nice tweet from Ken Smith. He says, your last caller mentioned it in the Federalist Papers, number 10. The Founding Fathers worried about political parties getting the first loyalties of citizens at the expense of national interests. That's absolutely right. And yet that's where we are. What they were worried about is what has happened. So, that is interesting. Just getting a little news flash within the business. Fox News spokesperson sent TV Newser the following statement. Fox News has parted ways with Kimberly Guilfoyle. What? What did Kimberly do? Guilfoyle's been a Fox Newser since 2006. She signed a contract extension with the network last June. Longtime supporter of the president, she was reportedly under consideration for a top comms job at the Trump administration. Eventually, it went to Sean Spicer. And Gabriel Sherman says, per three sources, briefed on the matter, Don Jr.'s girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, is leaving Fox News. More details later. Yeah, she's been hanging out with Don Jr. So I like Kimberly. I like her a lot. She is extremely smart. She a lawyer, prosecutor. But you may not appreciate it because of all the things that she talks about regarding politics, but she is a very, very bright lawyer and very smart woman, nice woman. I mean, just over the top nice. So, wow. Kimberly's no longer at Fox. Yeah, that door has, they have revolving doors there at the building. So, speaking of other things that are kind of going on today, and scandalous stuff supposedly is going on. Oh my gosh, it was about an hour before the show. The New York Times. I'm breathless. Michael Cohen secretly taped Trump discussing payment to Playboy model. So, again, I look now, Elizabeth Ann, get ready. You got to write another note about how I am so in Trump's pocket. 2 days ago, I was, the Trumpsters hated me, but today, all of a sudden, the anti-Trumpsters hate me, so I must be doing something right. I don't know what this Michael Cohen thing will lead to. Michael Cohen comes across as a slippery dude, I think, to most people. And he was a real jerk before he got in trouble. He was a jerk to everybody. So it's real easy to not like a jerk, and it's real easy to say, hey, you're going to jail, buddy. I'll tell you, you're a bad guy and everything. Well, so remember the FBI raided his home, his hotel, his office, and everything else, and they seized his documents, and they seized a bunch of tapes, and apparently in one of these tapes, he and the president were discussing payments to a former Playboy model. I don't care. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why I should care about this. In the past, and we'll go even to Bill Clinton, hanky panky on the side was generally not reported. From Kennedy on, I mean, you know, one president after the other had things on the side, and it wasn't reported. So Bill Clinton gets caught with his pants literally down. And it was a big deal. The Monica Lewinsky scandal and all that. I think we know Donald Trump has been a playboy. He certainly lived that role here in New York for many, many years. Didn't try and hide it. In fact, he kind of flaunted it. So I guess I'm not surprised that when he was a New York developer, years before running for office. He had a girlfriend on the side. I don't know. I believe that, yeah, probably. But so they discussed a payment. Now, Maggie Haberman over the New York Times was asked by CNN, so what about this? What about this? And she goes, well, we really don't know if he made the payment or not. But what he did do was say to Michael Cohen, hey, don't do this with cash. Do this with a check so it's well documented. So is that the sign of somebody's trying to hide something? Because you know that that stuff, bank records can be subpoenaed and everything else. So it seems like he was telling them, look, just take care of this. And don't do something too shady. Keep it. It's a shady deal to pay off some woman for silence. But we don't know if the payment was made. New York Times doesn't know if the payment was made. How does, and Donald Trump has a history as a playboy. I'm not sure that this is going to change anybody's mind about Donald Trump. The haters are going to, I'll tell you. And the Trumpsters are going to say so. So it was it's a big story today, and I'm sure CNN will go round and round and round all day long and tonight and tomorrow and the next day about Michael Cohen having this tape. And then the update is apparently this conversation he had with Michael Cohen was after the payment was made, and he was basically just doing what he's supposed to do. He's the fixer. And apparently he talked to the president afterward and said, oh, by the way, this is what we did. He said, I hope you used a check, not cash. Now, the president found out a couple of days ago, I don't know when, that this has come out, and he says, I can't believe Michael would do this to me. In New York State, the law says it's a one-party consent taping system. In most states, you got to get both parties to consent. Yes, I know you're taping me, and I approve. In New York, it's one-party consent. So if I call you, I can, before I get on the phone, I give myself consent to make this a one-party taping. I can tape you. So apparently Cohen taped a lot of people, and that's the other part that the New York Times is talking about, is that he's got tapes with a lot of very powerful people beyond the president. And New York Times is saying all these recordings of this, that, and everything else, this is the only recording that they know of that has Donald Trump on it. There are no others. So this isn't the smoking gun with a whole bunch of other smoke. This is it. And he said, yeah, well, I hope you used a check. So that's the deal. I don't know. I really don't know how this impacts us. I think Michael Cohen's got some troubles, but Dennis kind of Manafort level. You know, questions about banking deals and money transfers and all that sort of stuff. But then the other news out is the interpreter. The interpreter that was in the room, the U.S. interpreter that was in the room with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Her name is Marina Gross, G-R-O-S-S. Marina Gross, and a number of Democrats are asking that she be hauled before a congressional committee to reveal what she heard during the one-on-one meetings between the two world leaders. That she turn over any notes that she took during the two-hour meeting in Helsinki. No way. No way. Because if world leaders want to get together and have conversations, they should be able to have a conversation between each other without it being made public if they don't want it to be. There's a lot of things the government does that we don't get to hear about. If that's the case, well, then I'd like to have tape recordings of all the members of Congress in their offices all day long and see what they're talking about and who they're talking to. I think this would be absolutely terrible precedence. The way it will turn out is that if whatever Donald Trump talked to, agreed to regarding Vladimir Putin, it will come out in forms of policy proposals. That's where it's going to come out from. And interpreters, translators are bound by a code of ethics dictating that any privileged or confidential information entrusted to them remains confidential. I hope that doesn't get changed by the pinheads in Congress. They're so angry about everything, especially anything to do with Donald Trump. Then finally, talking about policy coming out, White House said today it is not considering supporting a Putin-backed call for a referendum in eastern Ukraine. It was brought up in the meeting in Helsinki, and the Russian ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the two leaders had discussed the possibility of a referendum in eastern Ukraine, but what Putin wants is he wants to have a phony vote that says, yes, we in eastern Ukraine want to be part of Russia. And the White House said, no, we're not going to support that. That's not a good idea. So that's what I mean. Whatever they talked about will start flowing forward in policy, in leaks, in media announcements coming from the Russians, whatever it might be. But that would be pretty extreme to have a phony Russian election in eastern Ukraine. It's all part of Putin trying to figure out how to get more power, more countries under his belt. He's an evil dictator. All right, we've got that. Plus, talk about the Fed and the president, because the president's not happy with what the Fed's doing when we come back. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find that phone number, all the links to the show, at TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
What, that's the big news? People are calling about Kimberly? If you're just tuning in, Kimberly Guilfoyle, we're getting word out of Fox that she that Fox News has parted ways with Kimberly Guilfoyle. Somebody called and said that she's going to go campaign for the Republican running for governor in California. No, she's from California. She's from Davis, California. She went, her undergrad was UC Davis, and she went to law school, if I remember right. It was Berkeley, and she was married to Gavin Newsom, who is the Democrat running for governor in California. And I don't think I'm letting private conversation out of the bag, but I know that she and Gavin have had they're separated, they're divorced, but a friendly one. They're friends. They're still friends. So. Yeah, because she's such a nice lady. She just is. All right. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Ron in Oakland, California. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Tom. I wanted to make two comments about two different stories you talked about. I don't really care that President Trump cheats on his wife and was having sex with porn stars and strippers or whatever. The issue is that it shows that he's a liar, because he is on tape more than once saying he knew nothing about any of this, that Michael Cohen paid these women, these porn stars, on his own. He wasn't involved. he knew nothing about it. If there's actual conversations of him directing him to pay off these women right before the election.
No, he was told the conversation, according to the New York Times, was Cohen told him, by the way, we paid this lady, and he says, I hope you did it with a check. It was after the fact, so he wasn't directing it, at least on this conversation. But I agree with you about the fact that, yeah, he lied about this stuff because, well, I just want to say one thing. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Yes.
And, same and thing.
The hypocrisy.
Same
thing. The hypocrisy
thing.
Of Republicans. I mean, they were outraged about Bill Clinton and cheating on his wife. Yes, I get it. He's a dog. But I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. But anyway, my main point I wanted
Wait. I can't get off that. Because it's the hypocrisy of the Republicans and the Democrats. Because the Democrats were absolutely fine with Bill Clinton's escapades, but is trashing Donald Trump about it. And the Republicans are protecting Donald Trump, and we're trashing Bill Clinton. So, come on.
I agree.
Do I like it? No, but it's wait a minute. I got a news flash. A politician has lied. Yeah, I don't like it either. And it's almost to the point where I don't know if we become numb. But the weird part about Donald Trump is he has forever kind of been loose with the facts and the stories, and you can call it lying, braggadocia. I don't know what it is, but so it is, and that's why I say I don't think this will affect him, because the Trumpsters will still love him and the Trump haters will still hate him. I don't think it changes
anything. I agree with you. My main reason I called, though, I think one part of the press conference between his best buddy Putin and himself in Helsinki that has been glossed over is, once again, Trump has more or less blamed America equally for the problems with the world. He blamed America equally to Russia. There's blame on both sides. It reminds me, Tom, of how he stood up for the neo-Nazis and the white racists.
Yeah. The Charlottesville thing.
Charlottesville.
Yeah. Bad people on both sides. Same thing. Yes. Yes.
Bad people on both sides. And also one other time where he was being interviewed by a Fox News person and was talking about, well, Putin is a murderer. Putin's a horrible person. And Trump said, do you think America is innocent? I know.
So that's why I did not. I crucified him the other day, and I got crucified by the Trumpsters for it. But, I'll have to continue it after this break.
New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Hello, world. Today is the 20th of July, and do you know what happened on this day? 49 years ago, so it's going to be a big celebration next year, but it was on this day that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon. Yep, that's what it was. I don't know why. I know we did it, and I guess scientifically it was like, okay, that was fun. So it cost a lot of money, and there's really not a lot to learn there, so we should go out further and explore. Oh, did you see where they've done a big survey? Some scientific survey came out earlier this week, and we were all caught up in Helsinki about the fact that they have determined that in the Milky Way, we are alone. There's nobody else. I know they're out there looking around for. And the other night, did you see Andy? Did you see Mars the other night? It was Wednesday night. It's like, man, what is that red star out there? Oh, there's Mars. So, and they say, well, we find little signs of life. And then NASA apparently had some device that was they captured that was proof of signs of life. I think it was on Mars, and they broke it, and they don't. Somebody dropped. It's gone. They don't have it anymore. Yeah, right. So anyway, 49 years ago tonight, go out and look at the moon, because I will never forget standing outside. The moon was bright. There was a clear sky that night, and where I was, and it was just bizarre. That there you are standing where you've always stood on Earth and looked out at the moon and realized we have two men walking around on the moon right now. No, I couldn't see them. But the fact that you're looking at the moon, you know they're there. They were either there or they were at a studio in Pasadena. One of the two. Well, I could not see them on the moon. So I guess maybe the back lot in Pasadena, maybe that's where they were. Anyway, 49 years ago tonight. I mean, I think they're doing some really great things as far as sending these satellites out there, and they're circling around various places. But we don't know what's beyond the Milky Way. We are such a little dot in the universe. We're just a little dot in the Milky Way. But standing there 49 years ago tonight and looking up at that moon and realizing we have two Americans walking around on that surface. And Buzz Aldrin, I guess I got to go there carefully. Buzz Aldrin, this is another story about, for those of you, a lot of us have already been through it, taking care of elderly parents, and especially taking care of elderly parents that have dementia or Alzheimer's or something along those lines, where people get very forgetful. And you know, God willing, you live long enough, the chances improve with age. Seems like that you're going to come down with something like that. So I have had the honor of not only meeting but interviewing Buzz Aldrin. And the last time I saw him, I've done it a couple times, the last time I saw him was about a year ago. And we were told that Buzz was available for an interview. He had come out with a new book. And so what was recommended was, instead of doing the interview live with Buzz, was to pre-tape it. So we go into the studio, you know, half an hour, whatever, before the show, and we tape an interview, and then that gives us, generally we don't edit it, but it gives us the ability to kind of drop it into the program where we want, in case of big breaking news that overwhelms it, we can put it later so we don't have a guest sitting there waiting for breaking news to be over. So we pre-taped it, but we pre-taped it because he's getting hard to interview, because he gets off on all mathematics and all these scientific formulas, and he's talking in ways that you go, I don't know, you know. Well, let's go back to, what was it like when you first stepped out onto the moon? Well, let me tell. Oh, yeah, that was, well, but there's the. Oh, this formula for, and he gets into some sort of thing about space and propulsion, and he would repeat himself, and he was having trouble. So I saw the other day where he is suing his children because of the fact that his children are, I got to look that thing back up again, but his children run his foundation. And there's somebody that wants to run the foundation, and the children are running it. And Buzz is not happy about the fact that he can't do what he wants to do, or whoever it is getting in his ear. It's one of these sad, sad stories, because the story was the children said, no, you can't do what you want to do here, what the person wants to do. They didn't say it out loud, but it was basically, Buzz, you're getting past the ability to be able to run your own affairs, was what they were essentially hinting. And I kind of thought, yeah, I can see that, because he was having trouble a year ago. So it breaks my heart, because the man is a national hero, but he's up there. He's up there in age, and I think this is something that a lot of kids have to go through. It's just that the kids of Buzz Aldrin, he's 88 years old, going to be 89 in January. They are dealing with a very powerful guy. And so I hope that the family issues can get resolved, because Buzz Aldrin is a national hero. He and the late Neil Armstrong. So it's sad to see, but it's also something that, unfortunately, too many families deal with it. He was supposed to speak tomorrow at the Virginia Air and Space Center, and apparently that has been canceled. The Atlantic wrote an article about what's going on with Buzz Aldrin, the fact that he's suing two of his children, alleging misuse of his finances and slander. So it's sad, because he's accusing them of misusing his credit cards, transferring money from an account, slandering him by saying he has dementia. I don't know if he has dementia, but I knew he was having more trouble. And we pre-taped it so that we could edit out all the fumbles and the stumbles and the diversions and everything else. So it's sad. But 49 years ago today, he was a young buck, he and Neil Armstrong, stepping out onto the moon. The kids, Andrew and Janice, filed a petition claiming their father was suffering from memory loss, delusions, paranoia, and confusion. They asked the court to name them his legal guardians, saying that he's associated with new friends who are trying to alienate him from his family. And he's been spending his assets at an alarming rate. You know, what do you do when somebody gets old and they want to run their own money and control their own things? And he's a tough guy, but he was having trouble last year. So I think if I had to butt in into that family matter, which I don't want to do, I would have to say that the kids are saddened, but I think they are probably in the right. Short break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So, since Helsinki went so well, and the president yesterday sent out the White House sent out the tweet saying, hey, we're going to invite Vladimir Putin to the White House this fall. So, and Dan Coats had no idea. He was at the Aspen Security Conference, had no idea anything about it. But what do you make of inviting Putin to the White House? We just got the news late in the show yesterday. What is this? Because I'll tell you what the president. This is becoming clearer and clearer to me. I think what the president was doing and why he stepped in it when he was in Helsinki is he's the businessman, and he believes that it's not about the relationship between Russia and the United States. It's more personal with him, that with his big personality, and he's able to do that. How many times have we seen all the way from when he was first in office, and the labor unions went to the White House, the labor unions, and they came out and went, wow, that was the best meeting we've ever had ever with a president. That was great. This is terrific. Oh, man. Every time these groups that normally would be against him come out, they sing his praises. And I think that's him and his style, that he believes that his big, overwhelming personality will win the day. And with that big, overwhelming personality, he will win over Vladimir Putin. He knows he's an evil guy. He knows he's an evil dictator. He knows he's shrewd and sharp and all that. But I think Trump thinks that he can build a relationship with him and literally get him to then cooperate with what we would like in our interest. I think that's what he's doing. If you think about President Xi and the beautiful chocolate cake, and President Xi, every time he mentions his name, he says, oh, my friend, I really like him. And even Kim Jong-un. Oh, we have a great relationship. We've started a great relationship. So I think it's the way he works is not about my staff meets with your staff and you work out some sort of negotiated deal about all the points regarding Syria, nuclear arms, all these various things. I think he thinks I am the one who's, because he said, I'm the one who will fix it. I'm the only one that can fix it, to paraphrase from two years ago. That's how he works. And I think that is why he's inviting Putin to the White House. I think he is trying to start some sort of personal relationship, bromance, if you want to call it that, because I think he thinks he can get Putin to be in the palm of his hands if he builds this relationship. So Joel Kiernan over at CNBC had a sit-down with the president late yesterday afternoon. They taped it yesterday afternoon, aired it this morning. And this is the president talking to Joel Kiernan, saying that he and Putin had a great meeting. And, oh, by the way, he did a great job at that news conference.
We had a tremendous discussion on many things, terrorism, Syria, the Middle East overall, Iran. We talked about, as an example, nuclear proliferation. There's nothing to me, there's nothing more important than that. We had a tremendous meeting. I think it was a very good press conference. I mean, except for the fake news, I really think I did very well at the press conference. But,
well, he calls it fake news because it was, I'm sorry, that was a huge mistake. But he went on to say, and by the way, this thing about nuclear proliferation, every president gets into that, but if you look at the history, Vladimir Putin has worked out, we'll reduce our nukes if you reduce your nukes, America. And so we go about the process of reducing our nukes, and he violates the agreement. And I'm afraid I don't want President Trump to be duped into what previous presidents have been duped into, a number of them. Let's talk to John out in California. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting. What you got?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to respectfully disagree. I feel like when the unions came out, they went in with some expectations. Maybe even they were going to be shut down. But I believe he offered them substance, and they came out praising him for substance, putting things on the table that they felt benefited their workers. And I think that was the pleasant surprise. And I think also that they realized we could have a relationship with this guy. So I think mistaking cordiality, even with world leaders, it's just not the same. I think he's doing things with substance with regards to all of the policy. It just seems like there's this premise out there that he's doing things willy-nilly or that he's egotistical and all this other stuff.
No. And I agree with you on the fact that he really has a strong belief and investment in the personality and the relationship. But I can't forgive the way he threw our agencies under the bus. I don't want to relitigate it again, but I really think he could have said to Vladimir Putin, you know, I've got the, which I'm surprised because everything's the best, the greatest. I got the best, the greatest, intelligence people. So sorry, Vlad, but you know, you did it. I wish he would have said with a smile, be cordial. He knows how to do that. You know what bothers me more about the Helsinki summit was the next day at the White House, him reading the retraction going, well, it was, I meant to say I wouldn't, but I said would. It sounded like would, but it was really wouldn't. No. If you believe that what you said out at that podium, then defend it. That's all. I mean, I don't want him to be a phony, even if I don't like what he said.
As a veteran, I read that differently. I do respect him. I realize he's in a different time zone. But what the thing is that the press is generally saying that and the pundits are saying he conflated these two separate deals. When we know that the press was asking a gotcha question with a conflated premise. So that question actually combined the two thoughts, and well, he answered it the best he could under pressure.
He's a big boy, and if you can't handle the media at that level, I'm sorry. He can. He could have. He screwed up. In my opinion, he just screwed up. So we move on, but I don't like the phony, well, a wouldn't, apostrophe T, was it there? No. If you believe that Putin told him the truth, then stick with it. Back Putin. Be honest. I don't care. I do care. But I thought that was even worse.
Can I speak to
I thought
other
it was worse that he tried to retract it. Yeah.
You mentioned about corporations and unions, Democrat, Republican. I think that's an old paradigm. There are tons of corporations that are in bed with Democrats and pushing Democrat agenda, pushing money everywhere around the world. And it's more about power, elite versus not. And I think there's officials that are interested in power and leverage corporations just as much as they leverage unions. And I believe there are good legislators that are in there actually trying to help the people.
Corporations always go with who they think is going to win. That's where they spend their money. If you're in control, we'll give you money. If you're not, we don't. I got to run, but John, thank you.